I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, how are y'all doing today? How are y'all doing? Doing a tremendous amount of driving at the moment, and it's great. Great to feel the four wheels under your bum and just get some road into you. I'd leave Galway and I head towards Belfast, and I always turn off at Ballinasloe, a town that I went to school in for a few years from 1985 to 1987. And I drive along the old road then as far as Athlone, a place where I spent a lot of time as a kid, as where my granny lived. I have great memories of the freedom, been given the freedom of Athlone. Not in an official ceremony or anything like that. It was marked by just this general vibe of get out of the house. That's where the crack is to be had. And I go on then to Moat, and then I turn left eventually around Kinnegad or Enfield, and I drive through Deep Meath into Longwood and Navan, and I spend a good 15 or 20 minutes driving around the town, visiting old haunts, driving down the main street, driving down Flower Hill past the Valley Cafe, Chipper, and where Fox's Pub used to be. I drive up the far side of Flower Hill then and into Troytown Heights and Hillview and Blackcastle and Belcourt and over towards St. Oliver Plunkett's Primary School and the church. And then out towards Slane, where I walked one time to see Bruce Springsteen. And out the road then up towards Drogheda and Dundalk and up towards Belfast. And visiting these places and even driving around Galway when I get the opportunity has got me thinking about the past. And what the fuck is it like? And why is it always... Like, when did this past begin? When did you start thinking about the past? And I think one of the reasons why these visits to those towns gives me such a gorgeous feeling is because when I'm driving around, I'm in a kind of, in a ghost sense, back there. You know, I'm 10 in Athlone with 50 pence in my pocket and going to the Ritz. The Ritz was an amusement centre that had a few pool tables and a Defender machine. Or maybe I'd go to Pat's Bar, and I knew I'd be the only person there at 11 o'clock in the morning and I can shoot a bit of pool. Or maybe I'd hang around with Charlie Green and Dan Kelly and Jim Tierney and Connor Spollen, and we'd kick ball on the green, or else we'd go up by the back of Montree and try and climb up the quarry and head up towards the water tank that was at the back of me granny's house. The far side of the water tank was Assumption Road. Just me granny was never comfortable on Assumption Road. She lived in Auburn Villas and thought Assumption Road was a bit wild. And she said to me one day, "Tom, if you ever drop money on Assumption Road, don't bend down to pick it up. Just keep going. As if the bending down to pick it up would get you into trouble. Like, as if you looking for money, the hordes would come screaming out of their own houses and bait you up for it. driving through Ballinasloe, and you have sense memories at different times of the year. Like driving through Ballinasloe in the spring, I remember the spring of 1986 when I was a water boy. That's who I was. I had long hair and dreams of utter freedom and lyricism. And I drive through Navan, and I remember going from housing estate to housing estate, playing ball and meeting girls, and I was wondering, like, is it an age thing? Is it because I'm getting older that these memories keep coming back to me? Like, I was talking to a fella recently, and he's 79, and he was saying to me that he's stuck back again in the 50s and the 40s. He said his whole head is consumed with the past and damage that was done to him. And isn't it strange the way you get afflicted by these things? They're not decisions. Your head gets haunted by all these different scenarios. That, do you think when you reached 80 that you'd be so far, the far side of your teens, that it wouldn't bother you no more? But he's saying it's stronger now than it ever was. And he said the only cure for it is to write me way out of it. That's the only way I'm going to get to the far side of these feelings, if I sit down with pen and paper and just scrive amach, you know, just keep digging and digging and digging until it's not bothering me no more. I've been listening to and watching a lot of Samuel Beckett, and what makes Beckett so fucking brilliant is that the great attempt he's making is to stop pretending to be cool, stop pretending not to be haunted, stop pretending to be full of doubt. And those declarations of doubt and visit spiritations are the most real thing. Like, if you're trying to cut away all the pretending. And a lot of Beckett's characters are just going through the same motions over and over and over again. And they're talking about something that happened to them way back, and they cannot get to the far side of it. And I was wondering, Jesus Christ, I'm only 51. Like, I mean, I have another 100 years to go. I could live for 200 or 300 years, depending on how determined I am to give up the drink and the cigars. But I was thinking, why now? And even when I drive around Galway, you know, I remember Punchbag Theatre Company there down at the end of Quay Street, and the crack we used to have. We had no money. We wouldn't have had a fierce amount of talent, but we had will and spirit, and that's all you need for crack. And I'm wondering, when you get to a certain age as well, you have a sense that nothing new is going to happen in your life except for shit stuff. That the experiences that you haven't had yet are all the bad ones, all the catastrophic ones, all the ones that will half annihilate you. But so there's a kind of a sense of predictability about what's, like, I was talking to this girline recently, and she was about 21 or 22, and she was so excited about fucking next week. Like, she was just, oh, can't wait. And there was going to, like, when you're 21 or 22, the future is exciting because there's so much stuff that hasn't happened to you, and it seems like a marvelous fucking adventure. When you hit 51, it's kind of like, you know, when you go for a run and you kind of, or a long walk, and you go 4 miles from the house. And at some stage, you have to fucking turn around and go back. So you'll be walking the road you've already walked. There's that sense you get from life when you're 51, is that everything I'm going to do or going to see is stuff I've fucking been here before. And again, that's not a weakness of mind. It's just a fucking something you notice. And maybe part of the habit of looking back is that you're trying to recapture that feeling of a time in your life when you done no harm to nobody. Like I've done harm to people, you know, hurt them. I mean, I stabbed a fella in the balls with a sword one time when I was 11, but that was, you know, his parents shouldn't have left two swords in the house with two 11-year-old boys on their own. What did they fucking think was going to happen? You know, they either come back to a beheaded rabbit or one of us on her knees and blood in the thigh and crying. But I've hurt people emotionally. You know, I've done fairly, I can't even find the word for it. You know, but when you're involved, we've all done it to a greater or less degree. And you might look back on different parts of your life and you might, you know, you carry the fact that you've hurt people with you. And it slows you down. It's, you know, there are bags on your back. But I'm wondering, is part of this kind of looking back, there it's always to times, you know, when you're like 8 or 14 or when you were free, like, and I'm wondering about that. You know, I think about what I might do ahead of myself, you know, and the thought of returning to stand-up is, I'm not sure about it, like, you know, perhaps when I get up on stage again, I'll feel the fire, but in terms of my imagination, I'm more interested now in other types of performances. Always one man shows. I think I couldn't be fucking sharing the stage with other people, the greedy bastards. But more interested now in Beckett, you know, and those strange states of mind that Beckett can draw you into and what it might be like. Like, I've traipsed the world, the whole wide world, doing my stand-up, you know, and bringing, when I'm abroad, I have a very strong sense of myself as an Irish performer, and, you know, standing up in a comedy club in New York and four Mexicans looking at you and a sense of, I almost have a sense of cultural permission to be slightly wilder than I am. I know that I'm a foreigner. I know that I'm a foreigner when I'm in England. And the older I get, I realise how different our two cultures are. And that we don't feel the same about different things. We have a different priorities. Like on the chat show recently, there was, I don't even remember, the man from Sligo who had brought the aeroplane up from Shannon Airport and parked it in the field and was turning it into a B&B or something like that. And he was telling great stories about working as an embalmer in Chicago and the Mexican cartels coming back and blowing a hole in the head of the man that had just died because they didn't want any other gang stealing his secrets. And I can't imagine hearing that story on a Scottish chat show, you know, or an English one even. So we have different, we gravitate, we have respect for different things over here. And I've gone all around the place bringing my type of performative wildness to stages, you know, but the kind of, I wouldn't say the thrill of it has gone for me, but I'm no longer really interested in bringing that story. What I'd be interested in now is bringing people strange experiences. Like, I've travelled the country. Used to do world tours of counties. I mean, the fucking madness of that. A tour of Leitrim. Imagine phoning a promoter and saying, I want to do a tour of Carlow. And I did. Into hotel rooms and small theatres, and I even did the Mart in Mitchelstown, or was it Fermoy, one of them places anyways. And it's crack, you know, it's big drinking. It's not organised seating. You know, it's just chairs, get as many fucking chairs as you can, 800 chairs in a room that only fits 600 people standing. Did a fucking gig like that somewhere in Wicklow. Jesus. If someone burped, the place would have fucking exploded in flame. But they're all about crack, like, you know. And they pay so that you, like, we all share the same crack head. But someone has to be in charge, or be the guide, or, you know, be walking ahead of the group. Like a fellow with a torch bringing Americans through the Alloway Caves or something. Mind your head here now! So people only laugh when they recognise, you know. So I'd be the mad bastard up on stage, and it's because it synchronises with the mad bastard in their heads. They're not looking at me as a stranger. Even when the English are looking at me, or the Mexicans, it's kind of like there's some hint of cultural recognition going on there. But in Ireland, my appetite now is for strangeness, to bring strangeness to people. You know, and you can't do that in a beery room with 800 pints of Heineken and bottles of vodka in handbags and fellas with doing cheap cocaine in the jacks and, you know. So you almost have to set the scene a little bit for the audience before the event happens. But I find I'm excited about that because, to me, that's new territory. To me, that'd be somewhere where I haven't been before. In a small little 100-seater theatre in Longford. And it says Beckett on the poster. In big writing. And Tommy Tiernan in small little letters. You have to look hard for them with the microscope. So there'd be no one there expecting crack. And the lights go down. People are all settled in for the duration. Oh, fuck me. It is religious, like, in seriousness. And the fucking, it's dark in the room, and there's a little half light shone on the stage. And I walk on with the back bent. The Borton, well shouldered. For fucking just to shuffle on. You see, I couldn't do that in stand up because people would be, because you can heckle in stand up. You know, as a woman in Helsinki shouted at me the time I was doing the completely improvised show, "What is happening?" And to me, when she said it, I felt as if at last someone was getting what I was trying to do. Because that's all. The show should have been called What Is Happening. But people can heckle during stand-up, and they don't heckle during Beckett. They tend not to. And they shuffle on. the hair is mental, and the big overcoat, the size of one that a fucking giant might wear or something like that, and all dusty white makeup on me face, and me cheekbones are howling. I can't go on. I must go on. I can't go on. I must go on. I can't go on. I must go on. I can't. I can't go on. I must go on. I must go on. I can't go on. Oh, can you fucking imagine an hour of that? Fuck me, wouldn't you be lifted? Wouldn't you be put in some fucking strange part of your own imagination? Driving home after watching that. Well, I preferred his earlier stuff. That to me would be a worthwhile thing to do. To take a show like that and bring it to fucking prisons. Up to fucking Mountjoy. I can't go on. I must go on. I can't go on. They'd be riveted, wouldn't you? You'd imagine they'd be fucking riveted anyway. I'd be fucking riveted if I'd have killed my own mother and was in prison for life. And next thing this fucking actor traipses in to tell me how bad I'm feeling.
I can't go on.
But I'd love to do that now. You know, strange. Are there other shows as well? You know, I'd love to. The Gospel of Mark. I'd love to do that. Just to fucking, to wonder, not because you know, because you're just fucking curious. They say the Gospel of Mark was written for actors, like it was written to be performed. That the style of the writing is a script. Imagine that. Imagine doing the Gospel of Mark. It's not as exciting as Beckett, I don't think. There's more drama in Beckett. You know? You just fucking look at the crowd. You look at the crowd and you fucking, and you die. That's, I mean, that's pure class. The Gospel would be a different kettle of fish now, you know. But if I had a few projects like that lined up in front of me, I'd be excited. Do you know? It's an original thing to do for each of us as individuals, is just to follow your own inclinations, be faithful to your instincts. Notre Dame, if you get it right or wrong, there's no right or wrong when you're following the smell of yourself, where you're hinted to go. Good luck.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.